James chapter 3. How many of you have ever seen a grass fire? I used to live in New Mexico, and there would be grass fires that would be so big that you could see the glow in the sky at night. Huge, huge sections of land that the grass would burn up. And inevitably, they would find out that one of those fires was started by one cigarette or one spark off of a campfire or maybe one lightning strike. And just a little spark is enough to cause a fire that would consume hundreds of acres. And forest fires, of course, the same thing. There's a different kind of fire described here in James chapter 3. He says in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now he's talking about the tongue, and I think every one of us understands what he's talking about, that it is possible to just say one or two things and start a big fire. And sometimes we are the victims of the fire. Sometimes we are the starters of the fire. And the whole passage that I want to look at tonight has to do with the dangerous tongue. The unruly tongue is the title I gave to the sound crew back there, but the dangerous tongue and the things that the tongue can cause. And if I was to ask you to think of something that someone said that hurt your feelings or that injured you somehow, probably not a person here that wouldn't have something come into their mind. When I mention that, I think of something that someone said to me one time that was just, it was unnecessary, unkind, it was meant to injure, and it did so. And that's the kind of thing he's talking about in this passage. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read James chapter 3. Read about the first half of the chapter. We'll stop and have a word of prayer. The Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you for the word of God that we could read and trust. And Lord, we thank you that you promised us that you'd preserve your word, and that each word that we read that is given to us by inspiration is scripture, and it's pure and it's true, and we desire to learn from it. And God, tonight, it may be that we may have trouble applying this, or it may not. We may quickly see things in ourselves that we should be careful to say, not to say. I pray that you would give us discretion. You'd give us wisdom. Lord, we desire to hear from you, understanding from the Word of God tonight, and I pray that you'd allow that to take place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You might remember that in James, there's a lot of content that has to do with things that people say. Back in chapter 2, a man may say he has faith and doesn't have works. And so when you come to chapter 3, the subject of what people say continues. But he begins in verse 1 with an interesting statement. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters." And that word masters has the idea of someone that would be an instructor or a teacher, someone that would stand up in front of folks and instruct them in the Bible. And and I guess there are people, I have a little trouble relating to this, but I guess there are people that would just feel like if they could stand up and teach, they would be important. I'll tell you something, that goes away after a while. And I enjoy standing up and proclaiming the Word of God, and I'm glad God gives me the opportunity to do that. But it's not a matter of pride or a matter of being important. It's just the opportunity to serve God in that way. But there are some people, and you've met them, they like to be heard, don't they? They really enjoy being heard. They really enjoy being up in front of folks. In fact, later on in one of John's epistles, he talks about people that want the preeminence. They want to be up front and be important. And so he starts in James chapter 3 saying, "Be not many masters." And he wants to remind us of something. When we stand up and talk, whether it's as an instructor or for that matter, whoever it might be, he says that there is the probability, in fact, there is the certainty in verse 2 of causing offense. Causing someone perhaps to stumble, saying something that is not right. So he says, "Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, interestingly enough, he doesn't say whether that condemnation is by God or by men. We are inclined to believe that God is going to undoubtedly judge us for the things that we say, but men judge us as well. And he encourages these folks. He says, don't be so quick to want to be that person out front, because you got to remember something. When you're speaking, you're in dangerous territory. When you're speaking, there's a chance that even if you don't mean to, you're going to offend somebody. Now, watch this. Number one, he says in verse 2, he says, "In many things we offend all." There are many times when we say things, whether it would be as an instructor, as a teacher, or whether it would be in the course of conversation, and we offend people, but not on purpose. Right? In other words, we say something and someone takes it the wrong way, and we didn't mean for it to be offensive, but it just is. The tongue is such a dangerous thing. The words that we say have such an ability to influence other people that even when we don't mean to, sometimes we can cause offense. I can give you some good advice, and that is this. When someone offends you by what they say, be ready to forgive, because the chances are you're going to do the same thing sooner or later. Another thought, when someone offends you because of the things they say, don't just assume that they meant it on purpose. I have said things to people, and later on they'd come back to me and say, "Pastor, do you know what you said?" And they would explain it to me from the way they saw it. And I didn't mean to hurt their feelings, but they took it that way. And so that's what he's talking about in this entire passage, although it is sometimes intentional. But he says the tongue is a dangerous member. I want to just show you three quick things here from the passage. First of all, the power that you have in the tongue. And let's look at these first four verses again. Let's read verse 3 and verse 4. He says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." It's amazing to me. A horse, what does a horse weigh? A couple of thousand pounds, brother? You figure 2,000-3,000 pounds? Okay, 1,500 pounds. And you can get a bit and put it in a horse's mouth, and you can steer that guy just by tugging a little bit here or there. Well, if he's trained, right? But the ship, he uses that in verse 4, a very small rudder that can direct a ship. And the emphasis or the thought here is in these first four verses is that if you are able to control your tongue, he says in verse 2, he says you are able to control the whole body. There is a power in the tongue. It's a very difficult thing to control, and that the person that can control it would be a perfect man. I'm almost inclined to look at verse 2 and say to myself, this is something that nobody really can do. That sooner or later, we're going to say something we wish we hadn't said. And we do, don't we? Amen? And when we do, we hurt some folks. The tongue has the power to hurt folks. And let's look at that word body just a little bit differently. Our local church is a body, right? And sometimes when we say things to others, we can cause the entire church to change one way or the other. Goes back to the idea of being an instructor. So there's a power in the tongue. There's also a peril in the tongue. And if we look at verse 5, he says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." I hope nobody would take credit for being like this, but there are some people that just enjoy spreading rumors. And you're probably thinking, I know one of those. I hope you don't, but maybe you do. There's a story that goes like this, that there was a lady in Charles Spurgeon's church, and this lady had trouble. She was talking about people all the time. And she came to Charles Spurgeon, and she said, I have a trouble. I tend to gossip. I tend to spread rumors, and I want to know what to do about it. And Charles Spurgeon said to her, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get some feathers, and I want you to go to every house where you've told somebody one of these rumors, and just leave the feather on the porch. And when you get through with that, come back and tell me. And so she came back in a couple of days. She said, okay, she said, I went out and I put a feather on the porch of all these houses where I had said these things to these people. I don't know what this is about, she said, but I did what you told me to do. And he said, now I want you to go back and get those feathers. And she said, well, I can't. They're spread all over the place now. He said, yeah, that's the same thing a rumor does, isn't it? Be careful what we say. The tongue can have a lot of influence. You know, most of the time, if you think about it, when you've been hurt by other people, it wasn't that they went up and whopped you. It wasn't a physical injury. What was it? Something they said. And it happens all the time. And now you can imagine how bad it would be. He talks about how challenging it would be to control the tongue. What about those people that don't try to control their tongue? They just kind of talk the way they want to. There's a lesson there. Again, the tongue is a powerful member, and it is a perilous member. And if you just let that thing run and say what it wants to say, you're going to start some fires. We ought to be very, very careful to try as hard as we can to control our tongue. And as my uncle used to say, maybe you just need to keep your mouth shut. Amen? He told me, if you haven't got something nice to say, don't say anything at all. At least if you don't say anything, you won't say something that hurts somebody. Talks about fire in verse 5. He talks about how it is set on fire of hell. And he's being very very direct here and very honest. I will admit, and you'd have to as well, there have been times when someone got us worked up and we said something we shouldn't have said. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Be really careful what you say. I hear this all the time, and I'm not thinking about anybody in particular, but people will be in a group setting, and somebody will say something, and sure enough, somebody else will be hurt by it, or somebody else will be offended by it, or somebody else will be, as the passage says, set on fire by it. So he starts out with this idea that the tongue is powerful, that the tongue is perilous, and then I'm going to go to verse 9, and let's talk about the kind of tongue we would hope to have and the kind of tongue we shouldn't have. He says in verse 9, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Why would it be that we would one minute say something about receiving Christ as Savior or give a testimony of how good God is, and then the next minute in a different place say something derogatory about somebody or say something that would be injurious towards somebody? Again, if you had a fountain, and he uses the illustration, you expect one kind of water to come out of that fountain, right? What was the story today on the news that they've started finding some really bad things in Coca-Cola? If you didn't read it, you don't want to know. I'm not drinking Coke for a while. And I think to myself, I've seen the way they bottle these things, and you've seen the Coca-Cola plant, and they've got the big thing of Coke, and they spray it in the little bottles. And then come to find out one of them had a mouse in it. And I'm thinking, I hope I don't get the one with the mouse in it. But then after a while, you just think, I don't want Coke at all. The thing today was worse than that. But the point is, if something is pure, it should stay pure. It should be pure. And if something's not pure, then it's not pure. And when we use our tongue to say things that curse people or that injure people, it makes the things that we say that are good kind of depreciate in value. Would you agree? It makes them to be a lot less worthwhile. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing in verse 10. These things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine, figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And then look at verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Think about what Christ saved us from. Think about what we would be had it not been for Christ coming into our life and changing us. And then, is it safe to say that Christ is still working on us? Amen? So that where we are today is not where we're going to be a year from now. If the Lord's working, he's going to keep. The Bible says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so when you and I first got saved, if I can say it in the vernacular, God had his work cut out for him, didn't he? We had some habits that needed to go. We had some sins that needed to be forsaken. We had some desires that needed to be let go of. And it's sort of like renovating a house or a car, an old car or something. You can't do it all at once. You do one thing at a time. And that has been my experience and yours as well, I'm sure. God works in our lives one thing at a time, right? So watch what happens. You got saved, and God said, there's some things I'm going to change right now. He changes your desires. And Brother Hickson and I talk about this quite a lot, that he gave us new desires when we got saved. But there's still some things that we needed to work out. For example, we might have needed to develop a greater burden for lost souls, and we still do, amen? We might have needed to have a conviction against some certain sin. I know a fellow in Maryland that got saved, and kind of shocking to me, about 9 months later, he came to me and he said, Pastor, he said, I just quit smoking marijuana. Wow, I wish you'd have done that about 9 months ago, but better late than never. And I'd ask him, why'd you do that? He said, God kept convicting me about it, and I finally just couldn't do it anymore. God convicts us of sin, right? So what we've got here in this room is a group of folks that are a work in progress. God's dealing with our pride. God's dealing with any appetites we might have had. God's dealing with conforming us to the image of his Son. Perhaps making us more humble. Perhaps making us more patient. I hate that one. Perhaps making us more kind towards other people. And as God works on us, he works on each of us in different areas. And he just keeps on hammering until he gets what he wants. You say, I'm stubborn. Well, he'll keep on hammering. And it kind of hurts sometimes. I was working in the baptistry up here earlier this week, and Greg was working in here, and I was trying to get some wood to let go. And Greg loaned me, what's that, about a 10-pound sledge, 5-pound sledge, little ball hammer there. And so I'm hitting this 2x4, and it didn't move. Well, hit it again. Okay, maybe after 3 or 4 times, it finally moves. God deals with us that way sometimes. So now all around us in this room, in our church, in other churches, you have people that are in a various place in terms of what God's done in their life. And what do? We look at somebody and we say, well, look what they do. Or look what, you know, what they didn't do. Or this is something that they did, you think to yourself, that they shouldn't have been doing. And we're really quick to look at them and to judge them at that level, and we forget something. We used to be there. Right? We forget something. God dealt with other things in our lives, and he's dealing with them. Everyone's a work in progress, And if we're not careful, what we begin to do is we begin to compare ourselves to everybody else. Well, compare ourselves to folks that aren't quite where we think we are. And then before you know it, we start talking about it. And when we start talking about it, that's when people get hurt. So when he says in verse 13 is kind of a key to the entire process, he says, the show out of a good conversation your works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness meaning I'm not going to exhibit or utilize any power that I might have. If I've overcome some sin or whatever, I'm going to be meek about that. And then I'm just going to show out of a good conversation what we ought to be. Rather than individually going after folks that aren't doing what I think they ought to do. So coming back and just look at the whole passage real quick and I'll be done. The tongue is a powerful member. It is going to affect the rest of your life. I don't mean in duration. I mean as far as the content of your life. Your tongue is going to affect the way you behave. Your tongue is going to affect the way you influence other people. It's a powerful member. It's a perilous member. If you do not control it, it's going to start some fires. And sometimes the fire is much bigger than you wish it would have started, and you can't put it out. And then the tongue is something that ought to be a pure member. It ought to be something that brings glory to Christ and doesn't bring shame to him or doesn't injure other folks that are his children. When I look at this passage, I remember the last time I preached this in Maryland, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, when I'm preparing the message, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is something that certain people can use. And then I got to remember, this is something I can use. Amen? Can I just ask you, real candidly, and we'll be done, can we be careful how we talk to other people? Can we be careful how we talk about other people? And maybe when you're, I'm being facetious, certainly when you are in doubt, the best thing to do is just don't say anything. I learned something a long time ago, and I forgot where I first started to use this, probably when I was selling, but I found something out. If you give somebody a compliment, it changes the way they deal with you. There's in fact, Mr. Hickson was talking about this, Brother Hickson, on Sunday. He said, you know, when you're going to soul win, and you go to somebody's house, say something nice about it, about them, about their house, about their dog, or about their plants, or just say something nice, genuinely something nice. Is there not almost always something nice you can say about somebody? Say, Pastor, some folks are awful hard. Well, usually we can find something nice to say, right? When I hear somebody say something nice to me, my favorite story, and it's kind of a humorous one, is I was buying a suit one time when I was in college, and the fellow selling me the suit said this. He said, well, someone with an athletic figure like yours would look good in this suit. I was a little runt. I was skinny. I weighed about 130 pounds, soaking wet. But he said something nice about me, and I thought, that's good, you know. And then about a year or two later, it dawned on me, he was working me. But can I ask you, does it hurt anything to say something nice to somebody? Not at all. When someone says something nice to us, that changes the way we deal with them. When we say something nice to somebody else, that changes the way they deal with us. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I just can't think of anything to say. Well, then be real quiet. But we don't need, I learned something else a long time ago, and that is, I know most of my faults. I really don't need people coming and telling me what they are. Now, once in a while, that helps, and my wife might get away with that because she knows me that well. But in general, we don't need to go around telling everybody where they're wrong. They probably got it figured out already, unless you really honestly believe you can help them. And the Bible points out in Proverbs that kind of criticism is good. But be careful what you say to folks. And I'll just tell you, every now and then, even in our church, I hear people say things and I think to myself, they probably don't realize how injurious that is to somebody else. They probably don't realize that that statement is probably going to injure somebody rather than build them up. It is going to tear them down rather than edify them. Be very careful how you use your tongue. And I got to finish for the sake of time, but in the context of James, here's what he says. These people in James had a problem. Their profession is, we are saved, we are right with God, we have faith, we're right on track. And then there's all these things that they're doing that show that they really need to straighten up. And folks, if you're a great servant of God, your tongue can destroy it all. It can cause great, great difficulty. Be very careful how we speak. Amen? And who can control the tongue? The Lord Jesus Christ. If I keep my heart in the right place with Him, it'll make it a lot easier for good things to come out of my mouth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes very quickly and just have a brief moment of invitation with every head bowed and every eye closed. And I just want to remind you, it's not a complicated passage. It's really very straightforward. He simply talks about how dangerous and powerful our tongue is and what it ought to be. Try to be honest with yourself and ask this. When you talk to other folks, are you careful what you say? When you talk to other folks, are you careful what you say? Perhaps there's something inside of you and you're just frustrated with somebody or something, or it's just welling up in you and you just can't help but let it out. I want you to know that's how fires get started. And I want you to know that it doesn't take too many people like that to get a whole church on fire. Be careful what you say. Ask yourself, is this something that's going to build somebody up or something that's going to cause an injury and tear them down? And in our heart, if we have something that we need to say and you just need somebody to hear it, tell it to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him deal with it. Because every one of us has got weaknesses and frailties and failures and things in our life that we don't need somebody else to go around pointing them out. We're waiting for the Lord to give us victory over those, strength and so forth. Let's be very careful not to point out in someone else what God hasn't dealt with yet. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just before we have a word of prayer, how many would say, Pastor, my prayer would be, God, let my tongue be used to say things that glorify You and build up other believers. If that's you, would you raise your hand, please? I just want my tongue to be used to glorify God and build folks up. Amen. Be careful. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Be careful. It's easy for some of us, not intending to start a big fire with just a few words. Be very, very careful and ask the Lord to give you victory over that.